from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the 176th banana ball game ever played in front of fans, as Lytle sprays this the other way. Chance for the fans to get their first out of the night. They say yes, and the umpires agree. Trincy Chapman, the third base umpire, with the call. Joe Lytle fouls out to a fan down the third baseline.
One more quick observation about the Savannah Bananas that I think I like and appreciate more than like what the Globetrotters would do, is that you don't know who's going to win. Right? They don't win every game.
That's right. They're not a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. Like Globetrotters, you know they're going to win every game.
Right.
Lost one in like the 70s by accident or something.
I believe, so the games we went to, I think they said, I didn't realize, they played 60-something games on this season, this trip, this tour, whatever, however they call it. And it started off in Tampa, and they lost like their first one.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. They lose like, oh, so that, what are you saying the clip there? 176th game or something?
In front of fans.
The game I think you would have been at on Friday, or maybe it was Saturday, was their 100th win.
Like
their,
okay, their so 100th win. Maybe I misunderstood, but yes, that's right. So yeah. They don't win every game, that's right.
That means they would have lost like 70 games.
I remember one time, I mean, I don't even remember when, there was a story about the Globetrotters losing a game and how, like, wow. Like, how did
I've
that
read
happen?
About that. Yeah, like, it was by accident. Yeah. They were playing around, and then they realized there was, like, 4 minutes left, and they were down too much to come back, and they couldn't come back in time. Right, it was by accident. Otherwise, you know they're going to win.
Right.
This is, like, it's silly, and there are fun rules, and it's entertainment, it's fast, but it still is, like, it still is a game. Like, it's still a competitive game where both teams are trying to get into it at the end. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off until training camp. Sal is in this week. And Friday, before the Bananas took over the weekend a little bit, Friday we finally got it. We got our Sabres trade that we had been looking for weeks, months, years, whatever timestamp you want to put on it. What was your immediate reaction to the deal? Was it like, oh, wow, they made a move? Was there any bit of, ooh, look at everybody outside of Buffalo trashing this deal?
I did not see that happen. We were okay. We were already on the, speaking of bananas.
You would have had to have been on Twitter.
The pricing and parking and spacing was not ideal. We took the train down. I was literally on the train, the subway, on the way to the game when this happened.
When you saw that the train
happened.
Okay.
And I said, oh, my God, my first response was, oh my God, they traded Matthew Savoy. Not, oh my God, they traded for Ryan McLeod.
Okay.
Right? That's the, I did not see any outside reaction until you tweeted about outside reaction. Yeah. And then I said, oh, I wonder who's saying what. It's got to be people in Edmonton or somebody else trashing it. Okay, so I'm going to give my thought, and then I know you
let me
say it this way. This trade reminds me of a fantasy football trade, and I'll explain what I mean. Would you say one for one, Matthew Savoy for Ryan McLeod in most situations is even or worth it? Probably not. This is a high-level prospect with a lot of goal-scoring ability for a third-line center. That's what he is. Who can play up on the second line in a pinch. Good penalty killer. He's a good, solid NHL player with speed. One for one, this is not a trade that most people would look at and say, what happens in your fantasy football league when you, Joe, make a trade with Jeremy and people go, why is he trading that? That's collusion.
Yeah. We all jump in the group chat and start going off.
But the reason you make the trade is, but guys, I have this other stuff. This isn't one for one for me. I'm actually taking him out, putting another guy in, and adding this wide receiver.
Right.
Right? That's what this is for me for the Sabres. I am not here to tell you that the Sabres should not have traded Matthew Savoy. I think he is a very high-level prospect, and we could be looking at him in a couple years going, oh my God, I can't believe the guy just scored 30 and he's on the way to win a Conn Smythe. I don't know. That could happen. Mm-hmm. I'm not predicting it. I'm not here to defend the trade outright. That's not the point I'm making. I do think, though, that the outside perspective does not understand why the Sabres made this trade.
Right.
And what it does. The Sabres had to make this trade now to get what they needed in their lineup right now. This is not a one-for-one, talent-for-talent trade. This is a trade that both teams had to do it for their respective positions. And in fantasy football, it happens all the time. I've been commissioner of leagues where I will get people telling me, I can't believe he traded this player for that player. That's such collusion. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. I look at their roster and say, but he had three great running backs. It's okay for him to trade a great one to get a really, really good wide receiver. Because he needed a really good wide receiver. He's giving up the better player, but he's actually helping his lineup more.
Right.
To me, the Sabres might have given up the better player in this deal. That's debatable. I don't know. 3 years from now, that's probably correct. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to make it. Yeah. And that's where I keep falling back on. Or even if I don't say they had to make it, I understand why they made it.
Yeah.
That's what gives me more solace.
I think you can be right in saying they had to make it.
Okay.
I think they had to make it.
I don't think they had to trade Matt Savoy. They had to make a deal. I don't think they had to trade Matthew Savoy.
Maybe.
But I understood why they did this deal.
Yeah. No, me too.
And that's where I land.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did have to trade Matt Savoy because they have been trying, I think, to make this move all summer. I mean, it was not really hidden. I mean, the media reported about it. Adams has talked about it. That they've wanted the top two things they wanted going into the offseason, if you listen to the Friedmans and the LeBruns of the world, was they wanted a top six forward and they wanted a third line center. And here they were on July 5th, and the day they made the trade, they hadn't done either yet. So, okay, what is it, an overpayment? I think both things can be true. It's an overpayment, and you had to make it. But I don't disagree with an overpayment, and actually, I saw my buddy Mike DiStefano from up in Locked On Leafs, and also Matt Larkin, who we love from Daily Faceoff, both, after the trade happened, compared this trade to, there was a deal that happened like 10 years ago that is off, most of the hardcore hockey people will remember is like the worst trade that's ever happened. The Capitals traded Philip Forsberg, who was their best prospect, for Martin Irad. And at the time, everyone's like, you did what? That's a horrible deal. And then, of course, that's exactly how it's worked out because Erat's been out of the league for 10 years and Forsberg has been like one of the best Nashville Predators we've ever seen. So that trade got compared to it. And I think it's wrong because, one, Erat was like a veteran 34-year-old rental and Ryan McLeod's 24 years old. And he's got contract control. One more year, then he's a restricted free agent. So they have control over that. So I don't actually think it's the same at all. I understand it, though.
100%.
I understand anybody in Toronto or Edmonton or Ottawa or Boston, anyone that saw this trade, which was the only real hockey action we've had in a couple of days, and went, oh, look at the Sabres. What a joke. You traded a top prospect for a dude who scored 30 points last year. A top prospect for a guy who got healthy scratched in the Stanley Cup final, by the way. Like, I completely get looking at that deal and kind of laughing at it if you don't have the context. I'll be honest. If Detroit or Ottawa had made that deal,
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Friday. I probably, being here in Buffalo, wouldn't have looked three layers deep into why they made the trade. And I probably would have fired off a tweet about what a joke the Senators are.
That's because you're the outsider in the fantasy football league who is not looking at the rosters and the situation and saying you're giving up too much.
I'm not looking hard enough at the situation, at the context that's required. And in this deal, you've got to do it. That's why, like, when I first saw the trade on Twitter on Friday, I went, oh man, you gave up Savoy for McLeod? Really? You made that deal? And after a half hour I was in. Because when you really look at all the pieces, all the layers to it, I think the trade makes a lot of sense. He's going to play third line center for them. I think he's a better option than what Peyton Krebs is. He's a part of one theme that I guess you could put it under the umbrella of tougher to play against, right? Because that's what we're hearing a lot of, right? They want to be tougher to play against. McLeod is not going to run you through the wall. He's not physical. In fact, that was one of the biggest complaints I saw from Edmonton was he is not, sometimes he's overly passive in some of those situations where he won't go into the corners. But he is maybe the fastest player in the NHL. The NHL edge stats that they started with the player tracking last year, average speed bursts over 20 miles per hour, both of them, he's 100th percentile. I think that probably means, by the way, he's the fastest player in the league.
Mm-hmm. If he's not, he's certainly close to it.
Right. 100th percentile should mean, in theory, that there's nothing above him. So either way, he's one of the fastest players in the league. He goes with a theme, if you look at the other bottom six guys they added. All of these dudes they've signed for the bottom six are lightning fast. Even Zucker, too. Like, Ube Kubel, Lafferty, all these guys in those NHL edge stats are 95th percentile or higher. Like, they've gotten legitimately faster. And that seems to be a theme here. He, I think, is probably going to give you more than he did in Edmonton, where he was, when Nugent Hopkins would play center, he was the fourth line center.
Right, he was kind of buried in their roster. Oh, he won't be buried in the Sabres roster. He's going to be a really good penalty killer for you. Look, I think for me too, I still have questions about who and what both of these players are going to be. That's part of this, which is
Right.
I don't know how good Ryan McLeod, where his ceiling is. Has he reached it yet?
Yeah.
Can he be what you just said and be much better in Buffalo? I know he's a solid player. I do know his floor is good. He has a high floor.
Yeah.
He's a solid NHL player in a lot of situations. I don't know what his ceiling can be. Maybe he's maxed out. I also don't know what Matt Savoy's ceiling is because, to be quite honest, as excited as I am about him, there's been some rumblings the last year or so that maybe he's just kind of peaked where he is, he's never going to be a really good NHL player because he has to have defensive responsibilities in the NHL that aren't really going to be a strong suit of his game that's going to hurt him.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
I
don't think he's done anything. Like, I don't need to tear down Matt Savoy to make this trade work. Like, I think he's probably going to be a very good player. It's really, here's really why, I don't even know if I got to it, like, why I think they had to make the trade, why I think the context leads you to, okay, you make this trade if you're the Sabres, because on the McLeod front, you want to go get Martin Nietzsche instead, right? You want to go get Mitch Marner instead, mm-hmm. You know, Brady Tkachuk. I don't want to just keep beating a dead horse, but I think it's true. I just don't know who they can get to say yes to them. I don't know if they can go get these 30 goal scorers to say they want to come here. So you know what? If McLeods are the best types of players you can get your hands on, then you do it. Even if you are, in theory, overpaying. I think you do it. And Savoy, while, yes, he goes right to the top on Edmonton's prospect pool. Like, he immediately is their best prospect. Here, I think he had been passed. I think he had, and I don't even think it's his fault, by the way. I think he had been passed by Benson. And part of that is Savoy got hurt last year. He might have got that opportunity. But Zach Benson was in the NHL last year. He's ahead of Matthew Savoy. And I think you could argue Yuri Kulik did too in the last 2 years. And again, not Savoy's fault. Kulik was allowed to play against men in the AHL and perform. And Savoy was too good for juniors, but too bad. Like, that agreement you have with the CHL, like, you can't go play anywhere else. So I don't think it's Savoy's fault. I just think there might be two guys ahead of him, and you might have six first-round forwards in total. When Savoy was on the team, if you wanted to trade one and it was a little bit of an overpayment, I'm just not worried about it because I have five other first-round forwards from the last couple of years.
I apologize for not knowing this. Did Kevin Adams speak since the trade? Do we know this? Has he?
I haven't seen any quotes.
Did Kevin Adams speak since the trade? He hasn't. What I'd like to know from Kevin Adams, and maybe we can ask Paul this when he comes on, did they take Konstantelis with the already thought that we need to take someone to make this trade happen? If that makes sense, right?
Sure.
So maybe they're already talking. There's no way it just comes out of thin air with Edmonton, I think. You're probably talking with Edmonton for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Does Kevin Adams go to the draft and say, I can make this deal, but I got to get a center to replace him in my organization, a scoring center, an offensive center in my organization? He drafts Konstantelis, and what happens the next day? The next week.
Yeah.
He trades Savoy. I wonder if that was all kind of by design, if that makes sense. Because as you're talking about prospects, Joe, I'm not telling you Helenis is going to pass him right now.
Yeah.
But they have to feel more comfortable now, at least, about replacing with another center who can be offensive.
Yeah, because now you have four first-round centers
right
in the organization. And Edmonton, too. We'll take a break here, and then we'll get your call right on the other side. It could be both. The Sabres draft Helenis, and maybe, I think they might have made the trade anyway because they're so deep there. But sure, if they pick him and then go, okay, well, we were talking about this, we feel even more comfortable about it now. And Edmonton, it was 6 days ago, they brought back Adam Henrique, who was, by the way, my favorite free agent idea for the Sabres at third line center. They bring back Henrique, and suddenly they go 1-4 at center, if Nugent Hopkins plays center, which sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Henrique. Like, Ryan McLeod is a fine player, it's just not a spot for him. That's the best center core in hockey. So there just wasn't a spot for him. And once Edmonton makes that signing, maybe he becomes even more available. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll talk plenty more about this trade. Hamilton will get on it at 8. We'll get Tom Gazzola in from the Edmonton perspective at 9, and we have plenty of time to get into it more. Paul in Buffalo, stay on hold. We'll get to you when we come back. Jeremy and Joe, Sal's in for Jeremy this week. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.